Could a psychedelic drug save your life?
I have a mood disorder, and my medications had stopped working. I was in a profoundly broken, devastated place. And then somebody said to me, I heard this story from a friend about a doctor, and he's been microdosing for decades, and maybe he has some extra. And I thought, it just sounds nuts.
Writer Ayelet Waldman.
About a week or two later, I opened my mailbox and there was this package, and the return address read Lewis Carroll. So I opened the package, there was this little blue bottle. And I looked at it, and I'm not crazy. I don't take things that come in the mail. I went and I ordered an LSD testing kit from Amazon. Yes, that's where you get them. It turned out to be LSD diluted in distilled water. And so I thought, all right, I'm just gonna trust this. I put two drops under my tongue. I waited for, you know, my keyboard to burst into psychedelic fireworks.
Goodness knows what this was.
That didn't happen. But what did happen is that I had a really good day, the first in as long as I could remember. It was like this dark, heavy weight just lifted off my shoulders. When I would ask, like, the most sort of stonery people, like, if they could get me some LSD, they would always say, when you're ready for the mother, she will come to you. And I would, like, roll my eyes and move on. And when I tell people this story, they're like, well, the mother came to you because you were ready.
Ayelet Waldman tried microdosing with LSD for 1 month. Her experiment is over. She's not planning on breaking the law again. But she says that 1 month made a huge difference in her mood, her marriage, and her life. And if you knew it was safe, and if it would help you, would you take the same trip? Here's Ayelet again.
I know it sounds crazy, and I've never taken LSD. I was not one of those people in college who did that kind of thing. I mean, the last thing I wanted to do is get into the dark places in my own brain. I'm scared enough about the light places in my own brain. But I taught for about 7 years at the University of California. I was an adjunct professor in the law school, and I taught a class called The Legal and Social Implications of the War on Drugs. And I had come across this book by a psychedelic researcher from back in the 60s named James Fadiman, who described using LSD in tiny doses, microdoses, which is effectively a tenth of a dose. And what Fadiman described was, he said that when someone took a microdose of LSD, they didn't hallucinate, they didn't have a trip. They just, at the end of the day, they would look back on their day and say, huh, that was a really good day.
So this is not a melt-your-mind, see-the-world-in-six-dimensions kind of dose.
No. I can barely handle the dimensions we have. You know, I am not a melt-your-mind kind of girl.
Did you tell anybody you were thinking about this during this time? I mean, did you got four kids and a husband. Did you talk with any of them about this?
I told my husband for sure. And my husband has had, unlike me, my husband had experience with, you know, big on regular doses of LSD, a fair number of them. And he was so, it hurt, you know, it hurt him so much to see me in such pain. And it also affected him. And he said, you know, go for it. Give it a shot. It's not going to hurt you, sweetie. And maybe it'll help. I wasn't so confident that it wasn't going to hurt me. So before I could do it, I did a lot of research. But I didn't tell my kids. I mean, you know, like, mommy's going to try some acid, honey. What do you think? I mean, that wasn't going to work. But eventually I had to tell them, right? Because the experiment was such a success, I decided to write about it. And then I had to tell them. At first I told them when I was doing the experiment that I had tried a new medication. And that's happened before. I've been on lots of different medications. And this one, unlike any of the others, really, really worked. So they were very positive about the medication. And eventually I said, so, you know that medication I was trying back in that month when things were going so great? That was LSD. And the older kids were kind of, they thought it was cool. You know, they're college students. The younger kids were sort of like, whoa. What? And then we decided to use it as a learning opportunity, which is frankly, how we try to approach all lessons in our house about drugs. We try to be very, very honest and very, very science-based.
Well, it's also worth pointing out that you, before you became a full-time writer, you were a federal public defender, so you presumably had plenty of experience with repercussions of using illegal drugs.
I did. And that gave me a lot of pause. You know, I've seen people go to jail for a long time for offenses that would seem to the layperson to be very, very minor. I've seen the viciousness with which this country fights its war on drugs. The real tragedy is that, you know, I come at this place from a really intensely privileged place. If I were a young African-American man without resources in Detroit with an aggressive police presence, I couldn't take this risk. I could end up in jail. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I've been so public about it, because I feel like with privilege comes responsibility. And you have to speak for those who don't, whose lack of privilege makes speaking more dangerous.
You took LSD, these microdoses, for a month. That's all you had.
Yeah.
It was a month's worth of the stuff. How did the experience change, or did it, over the course of the month?
Well, the protocol is not every day. You take it every fourth day. The third day of each cycle, when I was just me, I definitely was like, oh, yeah, well, there you are.
So you could feel a difference that fast.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
could you feel
totally.
It kick in?
Yeah, that day. I would, like, make breakfast and, like, drive carpool and do my normal mom stuff. And about 90 minutes later, after I took it, I remember once looking out my window and my dogwood tree was in bloom and thinking, oh, look how beautiful that is.
And that's unusual for you?
Unusual for me. Maybe typical for most people, but for me, that was a really lovely moment because I could appreciate the natural beauty. I could appreciate lots of things. Or I might like take an extra minute to like cuddle with the dog because she was being so cute, that kind of thing. And then I'd get to work. And then I would work. Like, I mean, I wrote better in that month than I have. The only other time that I can, that was better, but it was scarier, was when I wrote, you know, two books in a month because I was in a hypomanic period.
Wow.
And that's awesome, but that's dangerous.
Yeah. You said your kids definitely noticed a difference. And you wrote in the book that you feel like microdosing with LSD saved your marriage.
I feel like it did. You know, I don't know what my husband would say.
Well, actually, I do.
You
do. Hold on. Well, your husband, Michael Chabon, is also a writer, and he was in the studio with us just a couple of weeks ago, and so we asked him.
Okay.
So here, I'm just going to play. Here's your husband answering the question, do you think microdosing saved your marriage?
Well, I mean, with all due respect to my beloved wife, I think, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. It's part of her mood disorder to think that, in a sense, that to believe that things are that dire or were that dire was a part of the illness itself. So in that regard, I can't argue with that. I mean, that's how it felt, and it was that sense of urgency that led her to take this pretty radical step of trying to investigate this particular solution.
And then he goes on. He really loves you.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm a little teary now. He's an amazing man. You know, he's had to deal with a lot. He's had to deal with a lot, and he's dealt with it with such generosity and grace. Sorry.
Well, I think it sounds like he's there for the long haul no matter what. So from his perspective, it sounds like he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Why did you think things were so bad?
I think when you're depressed, you hate yourself so much, you can't imagine that you're lovable. Part of my depression is such an intense self-loathing that how could anyone love me, especially someone who I love and admire and almost revere in a way? How could he love me when I am so very unlovable? But I actually think that he's right. I think that is the mental illness talking. And I'm actually kind of a great wife. You know, I am ferocious and devoted and loyal. And, you know, Michael's a really easygoing guy. He doesn't say, leap to his own defense ever. He just, he's easygoing. But it's nice to be easygoing if you know that, like, there's a chained pit bull in your backyard that you could just spring the lock and, like, roof, they're going to come out, right? So, and also, you know, we laugh at the same jokes and watch this and enjoy the same TV shows and sometimes read the same books and think the same things are funny. And it is a really strong marriage. It's had its low points.
Well, I was I was going to say, you did this microdosing thing for a month, and it had this amazing effect on you. And then it's an illegal drug. It ran out. You don't want to risk, you know, your life and welfare and families by ordering any more. Where does that leave you? I mean, do you feel like it had any permanent effect on you?
You know, I think that the dramatic nature of the improvement had a permanent effect. I mean, one of the features of depression is when you're depressed, you feel like you've always been depressed and you're always going to be depressed and you see no positive possibility. And the fact that I felt so much better so quickly and that it sustained for that month and a little bit after, that really has given me a kind of perspective ever since. I have not dropped again, which is not to say that I won't. It is possible that I will sink again to that dark place. And if I do, and please don't tell Jeff Sessions, if I sink again to that dark place and I am confronted with the choice between killing myself or committing a crime that will make me feel better, I'll try everything else first. You know, there's great research now with ketamine infusions. There's psilocybin studies that maybe I could get access to. But if I can't do anything else, you know, I'd rather my children have a mother who committed a crime than have no mother at all. But there's no doubt in my mind that if this becomes a legally viable alternative to SSRIs or mood stabilizers, I will be the first person in line to get my prescription.
Ayala Waldman. She wrote about her experience microdosing with LSD in a book called A Really Good Day.